I'll invite Michael and Leno.
Thank you so much. So it is our great honor to address you today, and especially because it's Palm Sunday, and as it was said, the people recognize Jesus, the Son of David, as the Messiah, the Savior. So I have always pondered what it would be when the Spirit of God falls in a city to that degree that the entire population is taken to recognize a regular dude, someone that is coming, entering the city in a donkey, but they recognize him as the Son of God. They knew he was the person that had been prophesied for century and millennia before. So I always wonder about that, the work of the Holy Spirit. So today we will tell you our story. And we called it, it's an adventure. Our life has been an adventure. And following God is awesome. It's awesome. And so as we tell our story, because today the church will pray for us, we will start by sharing our testimony. And we do this because in Revelation 12, the word of the Lord says, we overcome our enemy by the blood of the Lamb, that is Jesus, and by the word of our testimony. So today, when we tell your story, it is our prayer that we inspire you with our faith, and that this testimony will help you overcome what you are facing, so that we all can attain the good work that the Lord has ordained for us. Because we need each other. We cannot do anything alone. We need each other. And I hope that comes very clearly, because everything we did with others. So this that I'm telling you is not my idea. It comes from the Word of God. Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we all have something to do that God has ordained.
So the reason that we're up here speaking today is because we've asked the church to bless us as their missionaries and to send us out into the mission field for the second time, but I'll get there. So we'll introduce ourselves a little bit, because so you get to know us, and then we'll go into the sort of the testimony of our journey. So I'm Michael. I was born down east in Greenwood, and someone said that their grandson was born down in Greenwood. I'm the oldest of three kids. I have two younger sisters. And as a young boy, I moved all across the country and overseas, because I'm the oldest son of an Air Force navigator. So I grew up as a base brat and moving around the country. But I'm also the grandson of two grandfathers that fought in World War II. And I'm the great-grandson of someone who served with the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry in World War I. So out of high school, I started in the family business. And I served in the Royal Canadian Air Force for 33 years before I retired. So I married, I had two kids, and after 7 years, unfortunately, I divorced from my first wife. And I'd say that that was really the start of my journey towards God, as I really tried to understand what I did wrong. Like, what happened in my first marriage, and how can I correct that so it would never happen again? So I met Leonor soon after I divorced from my first wife. In fact, Leonor is the very first person that I asked out for a cup of coffee. 14 months later, we were married. Shortly after that, I retired from the Air Force. Now, Graham said we only have till about 3 p.m. for the testimony. So I have to leave that story for another time. But I got out of the Air Force and we settled in Ottawa. And we settled down to build our new family. My oldest son, Alejandro, is here. Our second son, Matias, is in Toronto. My youngest daughter, Alexandra, is here. My second oldest, or my oldest son, Andrew, is in Peterborough in Ontario. And that really was where the Lord called us. We needed to put this family together, and we needed to build our new family.
So you can tell from my accent So I was born in Salta, Argentina, a small city in the foothills of the Andes. I come from a semi-desertic area. And I came to Canada looking for a better life after an economic collapse. I am, like Michael, I am the eldest as well. So our arguments could be interesting at home. But I am the only girl. My dad was an orphan, and then he was a truck driver, and then he worked in construction. And my mother was indigenous. So I come from a family where two very different people joined together. And the reason why I'm telling you all of this, and I also have to tell you that being the only girl, I learned to fight with my brothers physically, because I had to get my way. But all of this, the fact that my parents were so different, the fact that I was the only girl, the fact that I had to fight my way through, it formed who I am. And I'm very thankful for how the Lord put me in that family and with those parents. But I also studied a lot. I love to study. And I studied from very diverse sciences. So I studied physics. I almost have a PhD. I have a master in business administration. And then I have a PhD in the health of indigenous populations. So I work with indigenous people. Those are, I don't know if in the you could see me there. These are meetings that we have. And where my mother, my half of me has opened the way to be able to connect with them, and they recognize that in me. Okay, I now work at the University of Ottawa, and I am a researcher.
So we've been married for 22 years. It's the second marriage for us both, like I said. But we decided... We decided from the beginning when we got married, based on our painful experience from our first marriage, that we needed to put God in the middle of our marriage. And we did that deliberately. We presented ourselves to God, and we asked Him to serve Him together through our marriage. As it says in Ecclesiastes 4 and 12, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And that has been a cornerstone of how our marriage has unfolded. We each bought two kids in our marriage. And our first years, as I said, were focused on blending our family together and raising them. This godly marriage opened many blessings that we had really not experienced before. We hadn't experienced this in our first marriage.
So in 2005, I was called to be a watchman. I heard the Lord's calling me. And we will use a lot the words, I heard the Lord told me. And that is something that when you are a believer, the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. So if any one of you wants to know more about that, you can talk to me after or any of the leaders. So I heard the Lord very vividly calling me from Ezekiel 3:17 and 33:7. And the Lord says, son of man, meaning you that are a human. In my case, I'm a woman. I have made you a watchwoman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning. It was very big for me. And it was God instructing me to listen to what God was saying and to understand what He was communicating. I also felt the calling was for Canada and a calling for the well-being of the people, but that calling came with responsibilities. I accepted the call. And when I accepted the call, I started to get more words from the Lord. And at the same time, I started to pray the word of the Lord in a way that is just using the word of the Lord, that is praying back the word of the Lord to the Lord. You read the Psalms or whatever, and you pray. For example, the Lord says, the earth is the Lord's and everything within it. So you say, Lord, the earth is yours. Thank you that the earth is yours. Teach me to understand more that the earth is yours. And you go from there, and you go and you continue. So you spend time with the Lord, and the Lord starts talking to you back. And in my case, it gives me dreams, it gives me visions, and I started to see maps, I started to see the world, and a dialogue started with the Lord. And this dialogue, it would be, what is this that you are showing me, Lord? Why is this? What is your dream for this? Lord, what is your dream for this? Why are you showing me this? And that is how my journey started.
Our first ministry, sort of external ministry thing that we got involved in, was the ministry, Military Christian Fellowship. This is a picture taken on the front steps of the National House of Prayer with many of the people. It was November 11th, and it was with many of the people that we prayed with. And this was from coast to coast to coast, and it was an organization that raised prayer during Canada's longest war, the 14 years that we were in Afghanistan in combat, very much supported by the National House of Prayer. And that's how we started, I think, our first step in ministry. And not long after that, we actually came to West Ottawa. We needed a place where the Spirit was free to work. And we grew and we blossomed here. It was an amazingly good choice for us to move churches. We both had good jobs. We were both settled into our home, our family, and our church. We were focused on the kids, and that's where we thought we were to be. But as we started to hear more and more from God, we started to get a little restless. And in 2009, we both started having dreams about me getting back into the Air Force and going to Afghanistan. We didn't tell each other. We didn't talk about it. Then, one Friday, out of the blue, I got a call from an old buddy of mine who offered me a job in the Air Force. And I laughed at him because I said, hey, I'm in the public service. I'm well-planted in my job. My wife runs half the hospital, and it's like, no way am I moving. So I told Leo a day later, and to my shock and surprise and fear, she said, you should do it. We knew that this was the Lord. By any standards of the world, this was nuts. It meant a significant loss of income as we moved and Leo would not be able to work. It was very far from our kids, especially from our older kids who were planted and started their own lives at that time. And there was all sorts of reasons not to do it. So we talked to a whole bunch of people. We talked to all of our pastors. We talked to our friends. We asked for prayer. We did this. And finally, it seemed like God was telling us that we should do this. And that was, like, the world said this is nuts, but God, right? But God. So we did it. In fact, this church sent us out as missionaries at that time. Bob, your hair hasn't changed that much. So this was a really big day for us, right? We were blessed and released to go into the mission field of the Air Force. And it was scary. And at times, it was really hard. It was very hard. And it was really hard on my wife, Leonor, because I was the one who was working. I was the one that had a mission. I was the one that had a job. And it was difficult for her. And many times I doubted myself. I doubted, did we hear correctly? Did we actually set our life on fire by mistake? You know, but God. And we frequently during that time, you know, it would be, I should quit. I should move back to Ottawa. I should rebuild. Leo needs her old job back, etc. But we would pray and we would hear the voice of God saying, you should do this. So we moved 6 times in the next 10 years. I spent 2 years in Petawawa. And then 6 months flying those in Afghanistan with the special forces. We spent a year in Toronto, and then 2 years in Goose Bay and Labrador. That was an amazing 2 years. Now, I have to tell you how we got to Goose Bay, because it's kind of important. We were living in downtown Toronto, about 15-minute drive from the CN Tower, and it was getting to the time of year in the Air Force, sort of the way that the world works, where I had to sit down with the guy who decides where you're going to go next. And I knew this was coming, and I talked to Leo about it, and she said, I got a dream from God. Uh-oh. And what she said was, you're going to get command of something. The Lord is going to make you a commander, and you have to do it. And I said, look, I'm too old. No way. I'm too old. I'm not in that stream. They only give commanders to the really cool kids. You know, like, I'm not going to get this. And so I sat down with the guy, and he said, well, you could have this job. This is where I want you to go. And I said, I don't really want that job. Or, you could have this job. And I said, nah. Or, I mean, if you want to, you could take command of this Air Force base, Five Wing Goose Bay in Labrador. When you leave Goose Bay and you drive out of town, it's 260 kilometers to the next gas station. I mean, it is in the middle of nowhere. But God. So our obedience to this word about go to Goose Bay opened up an amazing, opened up the next 2 decades of our life. Goose Bay is the east gate to the Canadian Arctic, and in Goose Bay, the Lord extended a mandate to Leonor from being a watchman to the nation to a watchman of regions. Goose Bay was where we saw the glory of God in a huge way and started to understand why God called us there. It was also a place where we experienced great pain and difficulty. It was a hard mission field. No one would talk to Leonor because I was the base commander, and no one wanted to get close to the base commander because the base commander could chuck you in jail. And there was some really, there was no internet, there was no phone, it was hard, but God. And we really, really stood on the Lord and what he did when we were there. And the Lord planted us there, and we started to pray into some matters to do with defense. He bought prophets from across Canada to pray with us 2 or 3 times. And this wasn't us asking them to come. It was they'd meet Leonor at a conference and say, I need to come to Goose Bay to pray with you about X or Y.
There is Rob and Fran Parker. There is Kirk Smith. There is Sue Houston, and there is a team that came from St. John's related to Wanda Faust. So we had 4 times people coming from different parts of Canada to join us, to pray for what we were feeling and they were feeling about that particular place.
And they all felt called to pray for the same thing. Like people from other walks of life, you meet in a conference and they go, I've been praying into this for the last 15 years. And we started walking together. And the Lord at that time gave me a vision about the world, how it all fits together, that's guided us since. And Leonor started her working relationship with the Innu Nation of Labrador. Based in prayer and being faithful to the Word of God, she has built this relationship with this First Nations people that came off the land only in the late 1960s. This is a lovely group of people. And this has led to great blessings. Now, we returned to Ottawa in 2014, and the Lord put me into jobs in the Defense Department for the next 10 years that all had to do with and were focused on the things that we started praying in Goose Bay. And this was a start of a sort of a 10-year walk in prayer around these issues. Now, this phase came to an end in about 2021. We knew that my journey, this sort of this spiritual bit, had ended. But God is gracious when he ends things sometimes. And just before I retired from the Air Force for good, the commander pulled me in, the commander of the Air Force, and he brought in his senior commanders, and he shared with me that all of these kind of themes that we had been praying into were coming to pass, and that they were actually being implemented. And this is something that it, I think is what we do is we pray, we gather with people, and we pray until things are done, until they're implemented, until we see them coming to pass. And this is things that Robin Fran Parker, Kirk Smith, Wanda Faust, Stacey Campbell, Jane Jones. Jane Jones had been praying into these things for the last 15 years, and Hani Boghossian all walked with us through all of these things.
So even though we knew there was a season coming to an end, we didn't know what was coming after. But it, just in the before that season ended, in the next slide, in 2017, Stacey Campbell called a meeting of the Canadian Prophetic Council in Charlottetown. Charlottetown is the birthplace of the Canadian Confederation in Prince Edward Island. It's very nice to be among many prophets because one just starts bubbling, and there is an environment where the Lord tells you things. So I received a download during that meeting that the Lord that wanted to build that the next railway of Canada is the waterway in the Canadian Arctic. And the Lord talked to me about John A. MacDonald building the first railway. Now it was the time for the second railway. And this would develop the economy of the North and connect people in the community. So I've been praying this since then. And about a month ago, Pierre Poilievre, that is a candidate for our next federal election, said almost word by word what I've been praying. He talked about developing the North and talking about John A. MacDonald and how that vision had to be emulated. So that's the value of prayer. So 2022 was a year of transition. It was very difficult. But in January 2023, while we were receiving the new year at the house of Wanda Faust in St. John's, the Lord said, form an Arctic table to pray into being my dream for the top of the world. And go to Geneva and ask me for a global mantle. So we did. So I didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. So one day in prayer, I felt to call Stacey Campbell. And at the same time I called, she was in Geneva at the home of Bedros Nazanian, who had just received a word that he would convene and facilitate global roundtables. So the reason why we shared our testimony is that we want you, we learn that when we are obedient and we do whatever the Lord asks us, others are also able to do what the Lord is asking. So it is this concept of the body of Christ, where no one is more important than the other, but all parts are needed. So we went to Geneva, and we did just what the Lord told us. And in there, we met Jody Wood, that is an American woman that convenes global prayer groups, and all the strategic meetings that the Lord planned for us ahead of time. So what about the Arctic table? Okay, this is where we are today. So this map shows a bird's eye view that is centered in the North Pole. And if you see there, there are eight nations that are around the North Pole. Canada, in alphabetical order, Canada, Denmark, through Greenland and the Faroe Islands, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Russia, Sweden, and the United States through Alaska. So today we have representation from all the nations except Russia. But the Lord said we have to have Russia, so in time we will have Russia. So we are discerning the dream of the Lord for the top of the world. We know we are not the first or the only ones, and this is very important. We are never the first ones, and we are never alone. And it is very important to know that there are indigenous people that have carried dreams for the land for millennia, and they are expressed in the songs and in the poems and things like that. So that's what we are doing. And so this slide is very dense, but our perspective, and if you have questions, talk to me after. So our perspective, or the glasses that we used to see, we try to always be Jerusalem-centric. What the strategy is from Genesis 36 to 41, that is when Joseph invented the storehouses and became prime minister of Egypt, why he did it for the growth and survival of Israel. The detailed planning is based on John 13, and it's all about humility. We have to wash each other's feet, and we have to proceed by always washing each other's feet. Okay.
We're gathering the people who all have on their heart the same thing, to pray for into God's vision for the top of the world.
So at the beginning I said God chose to work in the world through people, and I refer to attaining the good work that the Lord has for us from Ephesians 2:10. So I will repeat this because it's really important. When each one of us does what we are called, we bring heaven to earth. Just as the Lord's Prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We started praying with maps, and the Lord started showing us places on the maps, and it all went from there.
So why are we telling you all this? Before I get there, I want to say a few words about this church. The DNA of this church is one where the Holy Spirit leads. The Spirit is free to move, and we respect what the Holy Spirit does. We're encouraged to listen here and follow that leading. It's an open church that welcomes all, but it's a church that holds firm to the Word of God, which is important. It is a home, and it's where we are supposed to be. So how does what we're doing connect to this church? It's the way that the Lord has called us to work. We have been called to change and create systems, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of out of the ordinary. It's not mainstream. So the temptation when you're doing something for God that's out of the ordinary, or you feel that it's out of the ordinary, which is probably more truthful, is to try and to go solo, right? To do it yourself and to rely on your own relationship with God to guide you. And we have seen people do this, and we've seen it go terribly wrong. So the Lord tells us that the setting of a church family is needed. It's the design of God. In Hebrews 10 and 24, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting one another, or not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. It says the same in Acts 2, 42 to 46, and 1 Corinthians, and Colossians, and Thessalonians 5 and 11. So Leonor and I need our church family. We're commanded to have a church family. We treasure the covering of this church and the support and love we find here. We're delighted to call this church our home. The church sent us out 16 years ago as missionaries to the military, but that season has ended. Now we're honored to be named as your missionaries for this latest chapter of our adventure with God, covered by our pastors, lifted up by our board, and surrounded by you, our church family. So thank you for listening to us. I guess that's it. Thank you very much.